Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Whenever the history books are written, the Obama era will undoubtedly be known for the 2010 Supreme Court 5-4 decision, commonly called the Citizens United case. The rules for how money can be spent by corporations and unions in political campaigns. That decision outraged President Obama, and he used his 2010 State of the Union address to express some of that outrage.
With all due deference to separation of powers, last week the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections.
I don't know if you remember that moment, but what couldn't be heard, but you could see on camera, was Justice Samuel Alito shaking his head and angrily mouthing the words "not true" through that applause. So what is true? The Intercept has published a multi-part series on foreign influence in politics, outlining potential paths for foreign money to flow into the U.S. political process. John Schwartz is a reporter for The Intercept and joins me. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.
First of all, how much is foreign money capable of influencing U.S. politics, and how much has Citizens United greased the wheels?
The straightforward answer is no one knows. In this particular case, a California corporation that is owned by Chinese nationals gave $1.3 million to a super PAC that was supporting Jeb Bush, Right to Rise USA. And in this case, it is extraordinary that Obama predicted this, that he said that this could happen, that he was roundly criticized. If people go back and look to 2010, even PolitiFact called him mostly wrong for saying that
citizens
are
overreacting, being emotional, but no.
That's exactly right. It was a very unpopular thing for him to say at the time. But as we demonstrate in these articles, he was completely right.
So the Saudis could start a PAC and fund it to the tune of $2 billion and, no one would know the difference.
As we discuss in these articles, the most interesting thing is that people saw Obama saying this and criticized him in public. In private, the smart Republican campaign finance lawyers and perhaps Democratic campaign finance lawyers, but we can't say that for sure, thought, in public, everyone is saying he's wrong. In private, hey, he's right. Let's go get that money. And we found a memo that had been written by Charlie Spies, who is perhaps the most prominent and influential Republican campaign finance lawyer, which was essentially a roadmap about how a U.S. corporation, which is owned by foreign nationals, can put unlimited amounts of money into U.S. politics. The most important thing that his memo explains is that a corporation, if it is owned and operated in another country, can't put money into U.S. politics. But a corporation that is organized under the laws of the United States can. And so what that means is this corporation, American Pacific International Capital, is in fact incorporated in California. And that makes it a U.S. company, and it makes it, according to the law, American money.
What do you make of real estate transactions on the part of U.S. diplomats who sell their houses to the Chinese and then, retain their influence within the U.S. government?
That's one of the things we found that really did surprise us. Even if it's not illegal, it does seem as though it's something that a U.S. diplomat would want to avoid. Gary Locke was first a Democrat who was the governor of Washington State, and then he was Obama's first Secretary of Commerce. And then in 2011, I think, he was appointed to be the U.S. ambassador to China. Now, he already knew the Chinese couple at the center of this story. He'd already had some contact, I believe, lobbying for them in the past. And then in 2013, while he was still U.S. ambassador to China, he apparently very badly wanted to sell his house that he still owned in the D.C. area from when he'd been Secretary of Commerce. And he was looking for someone to sell it to, and they said, hey, we'll buy it. And they did. Now, did that break any specific ethical rules. Maybe, maybe not. But I think most Americans would say, you know, hey, we would prefer it when you are the ambassador to a country that you not get involved with business deals with people from that country.
Is it the case that that enhances the relationship between this couple and the ambassador?
Absolutely. I'm sure that's why they did it. And, you know, after he stepped down as ambassador, he went on to become senior advisor to American Pacific International Capital. As far as we know, he's still doing that to this day. You can see his picture on their website. And so, you know, again, with a lot of these things, it's very difficult to say there's like a one-to-one relationship between business transactions and money and decisions that are made by government officials. What I think most people would like to see is just none of this happening, so we don't have to investigate it, so we don't have to ask the question.
Is that the Bernie Sanders scenario?
I think absolutely. I would encourage people to look at the suggestions that Sanders has, not just for Citizens United, but for all kinds of reforms to the American political process. He has a lot of great ideas. Hillary Clinton has, at least pro forma, adopted a lot of them. So if these things were to become law, that would be for sure a positive step forward. We wouldn't have to worry as much about this kind of thing. But in particular, I would say that Citizens United is the biggest one. Like, if this remains as law of the land, we just will really never know what's going on with our political process.
Does Citizens United enable foreign citizens to influence the U.S. government? It's a report by John Schwartz, who's a reporter for The Intercept. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.